Shortly after the adoption of the state budget, Assembly Children and Families Committee Chair Andrew Hevesy wrote to the governor to voice his concerns about her approach to issues impacting children and families in New York, especially as it pertained to a lack of new state budget investments in the child care workforce. And the Queens Democrat joins us in the Capitol Press Room to discuss the recently adopted budget, including what it means for working families specifically. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember Hevesy.
Thank you for having me, Dave. Good to be here.
So it seems like the big positive addition for families in the state budget this year is an investment in the Empire State Child Credit. Can you explain this supplemental benefit?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is a good win, and I want to congratulate, you know, all of the leaders, particularly Speaker Heastie and Governor Hochul and the Senate Majority Leader for getting this done. It's a $350 million investment in families that have income levels that are low enough to earn the subsidies, which are pretty low. And it's going to enable those families to put that couple hundred dollars in their pockets to help with the basic necessities of life, whether that's food, clothing, helping kids get to school, anything they need. So that was a very positive part of the budget. The downside to that credit is what we didn't get, what we left on the table, was the working families tax credit, which we believed would have done more to help families and kids, even with the same amount of money. But the truth is a $350 million investment in the state budget is a great thing. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, you just made a point there about how the working families tax credit could be more beneficial with just the same amount of money. So what is it about the design of this supplemental tax credit that is maybe not as far reaching as it could be? Because I've also heard from the Children's Agenda, as well as the Columbia Center on Poverty and Social Policy, that there are some concerns with the way this credit is written.
Yeah, no, and they're open to discussions, right? So we're having those discussions for the last year and have not been able to reach a consensus. I would argue that the reason why the working families tax credit is better is because it reverses a phase-in for people earning the lowest income. So right now, as the child tax credit is structured, people earning the lowest income don't receive the highest benefit, and the working families tax credit does. So we would have liked to have reversed that trend. And I think that would have allowed us to use some of that money for additional families as well. But look, these are good arguments to have, and whether or not we achieved what we wanted to this year, I'm mindful that not everything is achieved in a year, but we'll come back at the working families tax credit. But we should be grateful and proud of the work that we've done, that we're able to help tens to hundreds of thousands of families get a little extra money in their pockets so they can survive in a very tough inflationary environment.
The Assembly's One House budget included both investment in the Empire State Child Credit, as well as some money for the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is particularly beneficial to working and low-income New Yorkers. Did any of that language make it into the final budget?
My instinct is, having not heard about it or talked about it over the last couple of weeks, it did not make it in. And the agreement was to do the $350 for the Empire Child Credit.
Well, turning to the child care front, I guess starting with the good news in that arena, the budget spends about $13 million on so-called differential payments of about 10% for child care providers serving non-traditional needs and for homeless kids. What is the goal of this commitment? What are you trying to address with this expenditure?
So first, that was another nice smaller victory in the budget. I got to give credit to Assemblymember Sarah Clark and Senator Brisport. This was their bill. We were able to get into the budget. However, it didn't increase the percentage of the payment to the providers for handling those differential populations by the 15% that we wanted in the bill. It was negotiated down to 10%. Now, we'll take that as well. But the goal of that is to incentivize providers to handle kids who are in a population that are a little more difficult to deal with, including homeless children and those children whose families work on weekends or in the evenings or part-time. We don't have enough infrastructure related to childcare and childcare providers for those people. So we're hoping that this investment will incentivize other child care providers to get into the business of handling homeless kids and also handling those whose parents work on night and weekends.
Well, sticking with sort of non-traditional child care issues, at the end of 2023, the governor vetoed a so-called decoupling bill. And in her veto message, she said that this would be more appropriate for inclusion in budget negotiations. Given that backdrop, did any sort of decoupling language make it into the final budget?
No, the governor rejected it outright, and the governor rejected a number of other proposals. The most important of which, and by the way, decoupling is an important issue. But I would say the primary issue that we were fighting for this year was to create a permanent stabilization fund for the workforce. This workforce having the ugly distinction of being the 96% lowest paid workforce anywhere in the state. They're paid poverty wages. They're not respected. This has been a historical problem, and we were looking for large investments this year, and we were told in no uncertain terms, no. We were told no on decoupling. We were told no on a cost estimation study by Sarah Clark, which would have cost $250,000, which is a drop in the bucket. We were roundly rejected one after the other of every priority that we had been fighting for. And then I will add that these are the same priorities that the governor's own task force has outlined in a report that violated the law and was late. We saw it after the budget. The actual statute requires that that report comes out before the budget. So overall, this was a really disappointing and upsetting round of budget negotiations for childcare providers, for kids and families in New York who are seeking to expand access to childcare.
Well, sticking with the spending on workforce, there is an inclusion of what appears to be leftover federal dollars on, say, one-time investments in recruitment and retention, basically bonuses. What do you see as the potential benefit of that money?
So it's smart government. What you're doing is taking the very last drops of the federal stimulus funds and using them appropriately. There are restrictions on that money. So the thought was we're going to use it to do a repeat of what we did last year with these recruitment and retention grants, which are helpful but to the workforce. But I got to be honest, what we're looking to do here is have a sea change for all of the workers who are providing childcare in New York State because they've been so grossly underpaid. So these bonuses we saw last year, while they are helpful and they were appreciated by the workforce, do not do what we want them to do, which is to incentivize people to get back in the business of providing childcare. So right now, childcare providers are paid such substandard wages that we don't have a flow of people going into that field. What we do have is people leaving the field in droves because of the poor payment. So while the bonuses are nice, nobody is expecting that that's going to turn around the chronic understaffing issues that we have with our childcare providers. And that's why, while it's smart to use those federal dollars for that this time, and I approve of that and appreciate it, it's not going to solve our problem. So my overall take on the budget, if I might, Dave, was that there were just missed opportunities all over the place. And while I understand that this year, and this is how budget cycles flow, that there were other priorities, the housing deal, the scare in education funding, the Medicaid gap. My sense was after all of those issues were done, we were already late with the budget. And then there was just zero interest on a part of the executive to engage in discussions about these others, other important issues, particularly for childcare. So I think it was a real missed opportunity by us legislators and particularly the governor who re outright rejected many childcare proposals this year.
So sometimes spending in one area can affect another area. And in that vein, I think of how the state's commitment towards universal pre-K outside of New York City could potentially alleviate some of the childcare demand that families have if they're getting into those pre-K slots. So while it's not directly childcare spending, it addresses childcare needs. Do you think that we're spending enough on those other pots of money that the demand for childcare investment might be declined and that our focus on investing money in the childcare workforce is misplaced in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, no, it's a good question. I appreciate it. But the answer is no. So, first of all, there weren't other investments in upstate pre-K, as my understanding, or anything that might dovetail with the childcare issue. But the issue is, and I feel like sometimes I'm a guy who's just yelling about things that happened 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years ago. But the reality is that we are still coming off 12 years of forced austerity, which means there were no cost of living adjustments for for almost anybody in state government, particularly the childcare workforce. They are decades past what they should be paid right now, and we need to keep building. And I give credit to Governor Hochul for her first investment several years ago. That was a groundbreaking investment, the largest single one in the history of the state of New York for childcare. But we have to build back. You can't have one-offs where you have a good year and then you forget about it for a couple of years. We need to continue to make up ground from all of the devastation that was done with the forced austerity and then with the problem with COVID, which shut down tons of providers in New York State. So we have to rebuild. And for me, any year that you're using where you're not rebuilding actively in the childcare sector based off of the recent history is a lost year.
Well, turning to Governor Hochul, you wrote, as I mentioned at the top, a letter to her following the adoption of the budget, which, and I'm paraphrasing here, essentially accuses her of having rhetoric that doesn't necessarily match her policy priorities in the budget. And you conclude the letter by saying that you hope that you can reset with a true partnership and prospectively work together to actually assist New York's children. How optimistic are you about a reset, especially in the wake of calling out the governor so publicly and the pushback that you got from her administration in the wake of this letter?
So I'm optimistic that we can have a reset. Look, this is a normal part of the push and pull, I believe. I went a little bit harder at the governor this time on purpose, by design, because what she did really scared me. And listen, I've been in Albany now for 19 years. Bad budgets are nothing new to me. So people saying no to the things that we're proposing, I mean, that's just part of the business, and I understand that. However, on the exact same week that she is quietly rejecting every proposal that we put forward to help kids, and you mentioned one, you mentioned decoupling. We talked about the permanent childcare workforce. There are the other bills that we wanted to get done with the cost estimation study. At the exact same time that she is rejecting and just saying, no, we're not doing any of it. We're not spending any money. We're not interested. She's going and making the round saying that she's a childcare champion. And the reason why I came after her about that is because that reeks of the former governor. That's what scared me. It smelled exactly like I had woken up 7 years ago, and I'm back in the Cuomo administration where they would lie through their teeth about what they were going to do, and then at the exact same time intentionally kill it. And because I saw that from this governor, which is the first time I've seen that since she's been in office, I got scared and let her know that that's not something that's not going to be called out, because we can't have that. We can't allow an executive, a governor of the state of New York, to say that they are actively fighting for childcare, and then at the exact same time, same day, same week, turning around and killing things that would help childcare providers and families and kids in New York State. Couldn't tolerate it. So yes, I'm hoping for a reset, but it has to be a reset based on honesty. And when the Hochul administration and Governor Hochul starts repeating Andrew Cuomo behaviors, yeah, I'm going to speak up loudly and firmly that this is not something that we're going to allow to have happen in the future without it being called out.
Well, we've been speaking with Assembly Children and Families Committee Chair Andrew Hevesy. He is a Queens Democrat. Assembly member, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
And for more Capital Pressroom content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show. And for more Capital Pressroom content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.